Dit is SBS Dutch. Op sbs.com.au/dutch staan nog meer interessante verhalen.
Mr. Duiker, the coin we are going to discuss was found by your wife, Susan, in your very own garden in Sylvania, suburb south of Sydney.
Yes.
Can you please take us back to that day in March
2025? Well, actually, there's something I didn't write about in the article. We had had a blocked sewer.
Oh, that was the reason
it
why.
It cost us $5,000 to repair our sewer, but in the meantime, we'd had to improvise other solutions, and so there were holes dug in the garden. So actually, the gardening that followed was after some deeper excavation, you might say. But anyway, The coin intrigued us because it was a 1942 Dutch East Indies coin. With a hole in the middle, probably been hit at one stage by a mower, I suspect. We all dig up things in the garden occasionally. You know, you find things that you've lost. We sometimes find coins, but this was a coin that neither of us recognized or had owned or had collected.
Mm.
So I started to do a little research on it because I knew that 1942 was a momentous year in the Netherlands East Indies. It's when the Japanese invaded.
Because you could see straight away that it had to do something with the Netherlands, with the West Indies.
The Netherlands East Indies, Indonesia.
East Indies,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Yes, I saw immediately. But the mint mark P intrigued me, and it was actually the Philadelphia Mint. So 100,000 of those coins had been minted, but they can't have really been issued. One needs to note that Metropolitan Netherlands had been invaded, as we know, in May 1940. So the Netherlands East Indies was cut off, and these coins were minted for the Netherlands East Indies, but by the Americans, because it couldn't be done in the Royal Mint in Utrecht.
Mm-hmm.
And they would normally have had the caduceus or the Staff of Mercury mint mark on them. Anyway, I was intrigued. You know, how could this coin have ended up in our garden? I knew from my own research on the history, because I wrote a book on the history of the Dutch in Australia. It was published 40 years ago next year. I knew that there had been a significant Dutch presence here during the Second World War. There were about over 1,300 naval personnel had been evacuated or had come from the Netherlands East Indies. The Netherlands naval presence had initially been headquartered in Melbourne. About a third of the American Seventh Fleet was Dutch, based in Perth or Fremantle.
Hmm.
Ironically, they were helping to protect a coast that had once there'd been Dutch ships crashing into in the 17th century.
Yes.
And wrecked. I also knew, because when I first left Melbourne, the first home I bought was in Queanbeyan. And when I did some research on the history of Queanbeyan, I was very surprised to discover that the headquarters of the Netherlands East Indies Air Force was in the Queanbeyan Hotel during the Second World War, and that there had been two squadrons, number 18 Squadron and number 120 Squadron, which, well, number 18 had Dutch and Australian, I think it was Dutch air crews and Australian ground crews, and the 120 was more mixed. I think it was a combination of a Dutch and Australian air crew and ground crew. Anyway, or I'm not absolutely sure of what the configuration was, but they had been part of Australia's defence, and the naval presence had also helped to protect convoys to and from Australia. People don't realise that, many Australians don't realise that about half of the planes, well, actually it was slightly more than half the planes that were destroyed by the Japanese raid on Broome in 1942, that they were Dutch Catalinas and Dorniers. There were about 8,000 Dutch refugees that made their way to Australia at the time, but we still do not know how many Dutch refugees died in that bombing of Broome. So I wondered whether could a Netherlands Dutch serviceman have dropped the coin during the Second World War, but I thought that unlikely given that my late father-in-law hadn't bought this property until 1948 and the house wasn't completed until 1953.
So there was nothing on that land at that time?
No, there wasn't. And then I thought, could someone who have been involved in construction of the house have dropped it? We had a very dear friend, Joe Brewer, who helped us paint the house after we extended it, but he hadn't served in the Netherlands East Indies. But then we thought of a man called Charlie Adams, who had worked for my wife's family, and in fact my wife had very special feelings for him. He was born in New Zealand in 1917, but he came from a family of Norfolk Islanders. But ultimately, he was a descendant of both on his mother's side and father's side of bounty mutineers, and he was part Tahitian. He had given my wife his service medals rather than his own stepson, and as an indication of his affection for her.
Yeah.
And so we had the service number on the back of one medal. I'm embarrassed to admit that two of the medals are currently missing or somewhere else in the house. I don't know. Hopefully not in the garden.
More digging to do.
But so we got his service record at the through the Australian Archives. And to cut the long story short, between basically April, he had essentially served most of the time in New Guinea, been wounded in New Guinea, and he had periods of hospitalized with war wounds, but also with malaria. But towards the end of the war, in April 1945, he was sent to Moratai, and he was there until the Japanese surrender in September 1945, and we think that it's more likely that he perhaps got that coin then and dropped it while working here as a handyman, gardener. I mean, he actually lived here as well. When his wife died, he lived in the caravan here and had a little red VW Beetle. And he appears in family movies, and it's nice to honour his memory.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's going to remain a mystery how it ended up there. But I read your article. You initially wrote it for the Sutherland Shire Historical Society Bulletin. Did people respond to it? Did people come with tips maybe?
Not really, but actually it's been nice to have some messages of appreciation. My brother-in-law, his own father was a prisoner of war in the Netherlands East Indies, and I've been trying to give him some help with the transcription of his grandfather's journal. And it was nice to get a message from him and other people too, who don't necessarily have a Dutch heritage. It's nice to give history a different temper, or to give people different stories.
Yeah, and the coin itself, is it a very rare one?
No, there were 100,000 of them made, and it's a 1 cent coin basically.
But still, it sounds like the jackpot for you. I mean, you're an Australian historian of Dutch descent, so this is great.
Well, look, one of the things that delights me as an historian is the detective chase in trying to unravel things in many, many aspects of my writing. That's one of the motivations.
Yeah. Oh, great story. But I'm a bit upset that we don't know now how it ended up in your garden. Hopefully find out.
We can't always be certain of things.
No, true.
But we can ask questions, and we can posit hypotheses and likely explanations.
Yes. Well, if someone who listens knows more or has an idea or, you know, can point you into a direction, who knows? Who knows? We get a part two.
Someone dropped their piggy bank here during the war.
It wasn't me. Well, thank you so much for your time, Edward Duyker.
My pleasure. Thank you, Pauline.
Like, deel, geef je reactie. Volg SBS Dutch op Facebook.